When I was in high school, I briefly joined the orienteering team. And for those of you who have never taken part in orienteering, basically it involves being dropped off in the middle of a deep forest, usually in the cold, being handed a compass and a map and a list of points you have to find, and then racing around in this forest you've never been in, looking for flags. When you've collected all the flags, you grab them and you race to the finish line. All of this is done while sprinting at top speed, and it seemed to me, usually in the pouring rain. As you may have guessed, I didn't last long in orienteering. But I do have a very clear memories of the anxiety of being lost in the woods. I was always worried that I would get completely lost because I do, in fact, have a really terrible sense of direction. It doesn't matter about that, my coach told me. Remember, you are a racer with a lousy sense of direction with a compass, with a compass. And you know what? He was right. He was right. If I just held on to that little piece of metal and trusted it to point me in the right direction, I never won, but I didn't get lost, and I managed to find my way to the end of the finish line. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, used to say that for Christians, our baptism is kind of like a compass. It's kind of like a compass. Martin Luther, for those of you who don't know much about him, he was a Protestant reformer during a very difficult time in church history. And he used to go through anguishing times of self-doubt. And in fact, he was known for suffering from long bouts of anxiety and depression. And it's kind of understandable, because if you know the history, he managed to really irritate the most powerful man in Christendom in the day, the Pope, so much so that Martin Luther spent years in prison, and he dealt with the kinds of problems that would make all of us twitchy with stress. He went through an awful lot. And during these especially bad times, he actually wrote A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Do you know that hymn? He wrote that hymn when he was locked up in a fortress in Germany. A mighty fortress is our God. And during especially bad times of stress, when he was feeling alone and inadequate and all wrong, he would repeat to himself, "Remember your baptism. Martin, remember, you are baptized." Now, as I said this morning, Martin was a baby when he was baptized, and none of us can actually, those of us who were baptized as babies or young children, none of us can remember our own baptism. So here he was talking about remembering the fact of his baptism through the symbols of the church and the water and through seeing other children baptized. Martin was reminding himself, "Remember your baptism," that although he was indeed a sinner, and although he was truly lonely, and although he did feel completely inadequate and scared of the future, that was not the beginning and the end of the story. By his baptism, he had the bigger picture, and he knew that he was also called by God, his beloved child, a sinner redeemed, and never alone. So on this special Sunday, you've been given a foretaste of remembering our baptism. Thank you, adults, for being patient with the sprinkling. We are going to follow Luther's advice, and we're going to remember our baptism. And we're going to do so by reflecting first on Jesus' own baptism, because he is the one we follow. Now, of course, Jesus' baptism was different than ours. Jesus was our baptism is following Jesus' baptism, not John. And Jesus was the Son of God, not in any urgent need of a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. It was Jesus who ought to be baptizing John, John said. And Jesus acknowledged that, but even so, said, "Go ahead and baptize me, John. Let's do this, because these are my people." Jesus came to our side, and he went under the waters of baptism to identify himself with us. We've just finished celebrating Christmas when we remember the gift of the Incarnation, God become one of us. And I think in these texts we hear a bit again about the mystery of the Incarnation. Jesus, because he was fully God, did not need baptism. And yet because Jesus was fully human, he chose baptism to fully identify himself with us. And after this account, Jesus heads into the wilderness where he is tempted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And he is tempted because he's fully human and able to be tempted. And he resists temptation because he is also God. And he successfully resists because in the end, the devil has no hold over him. And I think it's significant for us that Jesus' baptism came before he went into the wilderness place. Because although Jesus didn't need to be baptized, I wonder if his baptism was a gift for him during those difficult 40 days and 40 nights. That perhaps hearing once again God laid claim to him, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Whether it helped sustain him during those days when perhaps Jesus began to doubt who he was, to be fearful of the future, to be so weakened by his time in the wilderness that he just couldn't see a way forward. "Remember your baptism, Jesus." Maybe he whispered those words to himself. And there are similarities between Jesus' baptism and our own that I think can encourage us when you and I go through wilderness times in our lives. When Jesus went under the waters, God identified himself with Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but Jesus identified himself with us, and he does so in our baptism too. In our baptism, God says, "You belong to me." And the words that God spoke to his Son through Jesus, God speaks to each one of us. "You are each of you my beloved sons and my daughters." Baptism is a kind of identification. When God identifies us as members of his families and the one whom he loves. And just as his baptism strengthened Jesus for his wilderness experience, I think remembering our baptism can strengthen us when we're going through hard times. Our baptism symbolizes an important truth that you and I are loved by God. We are precious to God. And we are never alone. So when you're young and a teenager and life is complicated, remember your baptism. You are precious to God, and you are never alone. We'll find out, I guess. And when you're in your young adulthood and you can't find a job and you feel worthless, remember your baptism. Remember that you are precious to God, and you are never alone. And when you are in your middle age and realizing that there are fewer years left with which to accomplish all your dreams, and disappointment creeps in, friends, remember your baptism. You are precious to God. You are never alone. And when you are in your senior years and your joints begin to creak, and friends and relation begin to die, and perhaps you feel weary and vulnerable, friends, remember your baptism. You are precious to God. You are never alone. You, dear ones, are beloved of God. You are his sons and daughters, and he will never leave you or forsake you. But baptism doesn't just prepare us for the wilderness through the gift of identification, of belonging. Baptism also gives us the gift of a call. I spoke about orienteering and the gift of a compass and how our baptism is like a compass. One of the things we say is that in our baptism we receive a way of living in the world. It's the way of Jesus. In the Anglican Church, we've summarized that in our baptismal covenant. And I'm going to invite you to turn to page 159. I've jumped around for Otto, but look at page 159 first for the summary of the baptismal covenant. This is in your green books. And you'll notice that the covenant begins with the creed. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? And that reminds us that the journey of faith begins with relationship. It begins with relationship with the one who loves us and who calls us in the name of Jesus. And then we move on to the way of Jesus in six questions that describe loosely the Christian life. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? That's about gathering with God's people. God gives us in our baptism the assurance that we are never alone. His Spirit is with us. But God also gives us the gift of a church. So people who are also in the woods looking to find their way out, people to support and encourage us along the way. Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. I will, with God's help. One of the realities about orienteering, I told you, it always seemed to be raining. It really did. It always seemed to be raining when we were running. And this meant that you'd be running down a muddy hill, and you'd get covered with muck in the course of running around in the woods. And that's true of the life of faith, too. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we mess up. And we need to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness and dust ourselves off and start again. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. This is being living witnesses to Jesus in our world by the things we say and by the things that we do. And then the next two promises are about love. It's about loving tangibly the people who are nearest to us, our family members, our friends. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? We're called to be vehicles of grace, and we do this by practically and tangibly loving those whom God has given us. And the next one is about loving the communities that we're in. So loving Oshawa, loving the school that you go to and your friends at school, loving the people at your place of work, and so on. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and to respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? And this is recognizing that Jesus came to redeem all of creation, including this good earth that God has given us. So friends, I give you this covenant. It is a good compass for each one of us as we make it through life, through passages that are sometimes taking us through dark forests, sometimes in wilderness places. And when you find yourself in the wilderness, I encourage you to remember that you are baptized. You are precious to God. You are never alone. And God has given you in his Son and in his Son's way a good way to make it through this world. We're going to stand now, and Warren is going to lead us in the affirmation of our baptismal covenant. Would you please stand? And we're going to begin with the creed. We're just going to give Ottawa a chance to get to the beginning. Okay.
Beginning on page 158. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in God the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth?
As we remain standing, let's pray. Loving and gracious God, I thank you for this community, Christ Church, into which you call us to walk together as your baptized people. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, in whom we find life and a way to live in your world. Help us to remember, Father, especially during times of doubt, of deep struggle, in wilderness places, that we are baptized, that we belong to you, your sons, your daughters, that we are precious in your sight and never alone. Help us to ever be mindful of our calling that we received in our baptism, and help us to be vehicles of grace in your world. And we pray these things with grateful heart in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.